This podcast brought to you by Gowin Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
Agriculture is Saskatchewan, and 620 CKRM is your source for everything ag. Welcome to our newly expanded Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. Here's your host, Jim Smalley.
And a good afternoon. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, brought to you by Harvard Western Insurance. We don't judge. Here's another reminder to renew your plates today. Visit harvardwestern.com. And brought to you by Assiniboia Livestock for the most reliable and dependable way to market your livestock. Today, the first crop report of the spring seeding season in Saskatchewan shows 9% of the crop in the ground. We talked to crop extension specialist Matt Struthers. We also have an interview with Agriculture Minister David Merritt about spring seeding. And Merritt announced the winners in the annual Agriculture Scholarship Contest. Top prize is $4,000. Debate on Bill C-206 in Ottawa gets interesting. It's a private member's bill in committee designed to exempt farm use of natural gas and propane from the carbon tax for grain drying. The farm weather is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour.
This is Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri News Director Jim Smalley.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Johnson's Grain, helping growers contract any type of grain. Call 1-800-324-7778. And Mazenk Fuels, your local branded Petro-Canada wholesaler for over 40 years. Fill up the tank, call Mazenk, 306-721-6667. The first crop report of the spring says seeding is 9% complete across Saskatchewan. Provincial Crops Extension Specialist Matt Struthers says the Grain Belt received a bit of moisture during the past week.
So far, provincially, 9% of the 2021 crop is in the ground. That's ahead of the five-year average of 6% for this time of year. So we're looking pretty good.
How does that compare with last year?
Last year was 7%.
What kind of progress by region has been made, Matt?
So far, the southwest region is leading the province with 19% of the crop seeded in, followed by the southeast, which has 11%, 6% is in the west central, 5% in the east central, 5% in the northwest, and then finally 2% in the northeast.
Tell me a little bit about moisture. Was there any this past week?
There is some light precipitation across the province, but mainly the northeast region received the most, with 22 millimeters of rain reported in the Porcupine Plain area. With some other areas in the east central receiving some precipitation in the form of snow and rain towards the end of last week. That will definitely help with some dry conditions, but won't carry for too far into the future.
What's the topsoil moisture rating?
Right now for cropland, 1% is surplus, 41% is adequate, 44% is short, and 14% is very short. For hay and pasture land, the moisture is rated as 1% surplus, 27% adequate, 48% short, and 25% short. And the shortness of moisture and the cool season cool spring we've experienced has slowed pasture growth. So that's raised some concerns with cattle producers.
What's some of the early crops that are being planted?
The biggest crop going in right now, percentage-wise, is field pea, just due to its size. You know, it can sit in the ground when it's a little bit cooler, followed by lentils, durum, and spring wheat.
Was there any winter kill?
That's still being assessed. You know, it takes a while for that to the final numbers to come back on that. But as of right now, there does appear to be some winter kill occurring across the province, typically due to just the poor snow coverage we had, the dry conditions and the cool spring. So the plants they're just a little slow to get up and mature or to emerge. So about next week or maybe 2 weeks from now, we might see some reseeding in those areas.
When do you expect seeding to be general in the southern and the northern grain belt?
Oh, general, I would say about the start of next week, just with the warm weather we're having and, there's no saturated fields. I think it'll be general next week or later next week.
Matt Struthers compiles the weekly crop report for the Saskatchewan Ministry of Agriculture.
Back to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM.
This portion is brought to you by Prairie 6-inch Eaves Troughs. An inch makes a big difference. PrairieEavesTroughs.ca. Saskatchewan Agriculture Minister David Merritt is happy to see seeding well underway in much of southern Saskatchewan. Merritt says, though, soil moisture remains a concern.
Well, it's nice to see the numbers where they are. About 9% across the provinces. And obviously, we know that the southwest and south across the south will be the higher percentage, Jim, and then obviously on the west side as well. So by the numbers we're seeing, we're above the five-year average, but it's it's nice to see the farmers rolling and getting going. I know parts of the province are obviously worried about some moisture and need some moisture, but we're always hopeful we get the rain at the right time. And once again, we'll hope we get some rain here soon.
Yeah, I see. And there was some moisture this past week. I was surprised at that.
Yeah, I was too. When I saw that up in the Northeast, they got some nice rains, and it'll help them get her going too. But, you know, talking to some of the farmers in, you know, around my area, they're saying the moisture is good. The crops, it's actually real nice for seeding. So it's going in nice. Some guys are well on their way. Some are, you know, half done, and some are getting, even by the weekend, could be almost wrapped up. So it's moving right along.
Yeah, it's moving along pretty fast. Looks like there might have been some winter kill this winter.
Yeah, I see that. Obviously, you know, with the lack of snow and the cold weather, you do have that winter kill, whether it's fall rye or winter wheat. It's always concerning, and I'm sure the farmers are assessing whether they're going to, you know, burn it off and reseed, or whether they're going to see that there's still enough there to salvage a decent crop out of it. So then they'll make those decisions.
On another topic, the scholarships have been announced. Who's the big winner?
Well, I mean, we first of all, we really want to thank all the students that are interested in agriculture and post-secondary education for the applications. And this year's theme is obviously building on public trust and really transparency in the ag sector as well, Jim. So we're always excited to see the results, whether it's video or essays. And this year's winner is a young person from Swift Current, Jesse Patzer. He will receive $4,000, and then we have three runner-ups that will receive $2,000 each as well, Jim, just to help them with their tuition, and want to take this opportunity to thank them and all the students for submitting either their videos or essays. It's good to see that kind of interest in it. It really is.
Interesting how the topic now, transparency and even social media, are the topics of the day.
Yeah, they really are, you know, and I had the pleasure of seeing a couple of the videos, and these young kids really put some, you know, some good work into it, and it's pretty awesome to see their interest in telling their story, and I think it's a good way to do it. When you have young kids like this telling of how they grow their food, how they grow their livestock, what they do with it, and how they treat it and everything like that is absolutely incredible, and I think these are the stories, and these are the young people that are going to tell the story to the world. That is what we're doing here is in the right manner. It really is. And I'm very proud to sponsor this and work with this program. And we have a committee within the ministry that goes through all the applications and select it down. And want to congratulate the winners again this year.
And I see there also some of their topics talk about consumers and the growing consumer awareness about food and production.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and I think, you know, Jim, with COVID and everything happening, a year ago, I think we saw a lot of that. People were really concerned about food, the supply of food, where it was grown, how it's grown, and in a safe manner. And it just seemed to rise to a level that I've never seen before when people were very concerned about food. And I mean, obviously, we know why when we saw what we did. And I think it's just finally highlighted a reality of just everybody really wants to know how their food is grown and where it's grown. And we're seeing that even globally with companies as well, Jim. They're looking at Canadian farmers. They're looking at Western Canadian farmers on how we grow our food in an environmentally sustainable way, the high quality food we're growing, the consistency in the quality of the product is also becoming a huge factor. So we're seeing a lot of things play into, you know, to what the customer is looking for in the food that they're eating now.
The runner-up scholarship winners include Jessica Davey from southwest of Saskatoon, Sarah Whitenecht of Saskatoon, and Kylage McNally of Bethune, who each received $2,000 in agriculture scholarship.
Time now for Real Agriculture with Sean Haney. Brought to you in part by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamps Integra Tire in Grenfell. Your locally owned Integra Tire dealers on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This is your realagriculture.com update brought to you by the Canola School. Get canola agronomic information when you need it on your smartphone, tablet, or laptop. Our library of timely agronomic information is free and available at canolaschool.com. David, let's talk about those Western prairies. And of course, you know, the southern part of the prairie is extremely dry. That dips into parts of Montana, North Dakota, extremely dry. 98% of the state under drought conditions. As you move north in the prairie provinces, conditions get a lot better. But what can we expect for rainfall? Because it is needed on the southern tip of the prairies.
Oh, and it is that way. It's very dry. And I got to tell you, you know, we just finished doing our weekly Canadian prairies forecast, and it's dry for the next week. There's no doubt about it. The pattern is cold, and the big cold high pressure is coming down from northwest Canada and Alaska, but it's keeping it dry. So you're getting a lot of early planting done, but you're planting in dust. They've had a very dry winter. They've had no moisture in the ground all winter long, and they're not getting it now. And, you know, what's happening is all the rain is going through the plains of the Midwest right now. So they're not really hitting the Canadian prairies. So it's a problem. And it looks that way for most of May with below normal rainfall. And that's really a problem, because now what you're going to need is you're going to need a super wet June and July to get your normal production out of there. If you have a normal rainfall in June or July in the prairies, that'll help, but you're going to be way behind. And the other issue is that there's no deep soil moisture in the ground there. The subsurface moisture is extremely dry because it's going on here for so long. So they need not just a lot of rain to surface, but they need the rain to get deep into the soil, and that's going to take a while to do. And that means you're going to run out of time, because if you get a lot of rain in June, July, that means you're not getting a lot of sun.
David,
so there you have that problem.
Yeah, David, for the, like, you know, the northern parts of, you know, you get above north of Saskatoon, north of, you know, around the Edmonton area in Alberta.
Yes.
Are those areas going to get more moisture than their southern counterparts?
Yes, they are. And because of the pattern is, that's the one area of the Canadian prairies which is doing okay is the eastern portions of Alberta. You know, Edmonton, Sask, you know, those places like that, Calgary, the areas east of that, they're doing pretty good with the rain in those areas because of the pattern. So they're not nearly as bad as, let's say, you know, the southern half of Saskatchewan or southwest Manitoba. They're doing a lot better. But even there, they're still behind, but not nearly to the same degree.
Yeah. Now, you said that in eastern Canada, June, it's going to warm up. Can we expect a warm June when it comes to the prairies?
It will warm up there as well to some degree. It will. And that might, with a warming pattern, with the jet stream shifting north, with the storm track shifting north, typically that's when they start getting more rain in the Canadian prairies. But again, they're going to have to get a lot of rain to repair the damage that was being done.
Yes.
And I don't know if that's going to happen. And, you know, if the pattern stays chilly in June, if the extended models are wrong, and it stays chilly in June, that means the storm track will stay in the U.S. and the Canadian prairies will stay cool and dry and not get the rain they need. So, you know, the way this is shaping up is that you've got problems no matter what happens with the weather pattern. If it turns really wet, you're not getting the sunshine, you need a lot of rain to recover. And if it stays dry, you may get somewhat better temperatures, and now you're not getting your rain. So you've got problems either way.
Yeah, you know, that North Dakota, Montana, southern Alberta, southern Saskatchewan, southwestern Manitoba, that whole area is just like in a rain lockout, it seems.
Yes, it is. It really, really is. And what's happening is that there's a pattern going on in North America. And it has to do with what we call the Pacific North America, the PNA, Peter North America, the Pacific North America pattern. And it's dominated. What's happening is there's a large pool of really cold water which has developed on the west coast of North America from Alaska down to Baja, California. And that large pool of cold water is so deep and large, it's altering the jet stream pattern. And it's causing a persistent trough in the jet stream to appear on the west coast of North America. So that's bringing the rain and the systems into Northern California and Oregon and Washington State and across the Rockies. But it's bypassing the Canadian prairies.
This has been your Real Agriculture Update. You can find out more about this issue or many others at realagriculture.com.
It's your agro weather forecast on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM farm weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. Today, sunny sky, wind north 30, gusting to 50 this afternoon. The high 17, the low plus 1. Friday, mainly sunny, wind southeast 30, gusting to 50. Tomorrow, the high 15, the low plus 3. Saturday, partly cloudy, the high 10, the low minus 1. Sunday, partly cloudy, the high 11, the low 0. Monday, partly cloudy, the high 14, the low plus 3. Tuesday, partly cloudy, the high 17, the low plus 5. Wednesday, partly cloudy and a high forecast of 18 degrees. Normal high for this date is 17, the normal low plus 2. The sun rose at 5:24 this morning. It sets at 8:26 tonight. And around the province, the hot spot, Estevan at 17. The cold spot up north, Collins Bay at plus 2. Once again, Estevan is 17, Saskatoon 13, Swift Current 15, Weyburn sort of in a tie at 17, Yorkton is 12. Regina, sunny and 15, that's 60 Fahrenheit. Winds are from the north-northwest, 22, gusting to 38. Humidity, 17%. Barometer dropping, 102.6. Sunny in Moose Jaw, 16 degrees. Winds are from the north-northeast at 18. Once again, Regina, sunny and 15, that's 60 Fahrenheit. Back in a moment.
This spring, apply pre-emergent Edge Microactive Group 3 herbicide from Gowan Canada before seeding your canola. Maximize yield today and manage resistance tomorrow. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan Canada.
You're listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri-News Director Jim Smalley.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers. Get fair market value for your assets with an online auction through McDougall Auctioneers. McDougallAuctions.com. And brought to you by Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. There's a recurring theme among opponents of Bill C-206. The Commons Ag Committee is hearing more testimony this week on the private members' bill that would exempt natural gas and propane from the federal carbon tax when used in equipment like grain dryers. The bill easily made it past second reading in the House thanks to full support of all the opposition and even a handful of Liberal MPs. But some of the presenters to the committee say carbon pricing is necessary to create the incentive to develop new technologies and fuel sources to dry grain. This was a comment made by Tom Green of the David Suzuki Foundation.
We need the price on carbon pollution to create the incentives, and already these kind of solutions are starting to appear across the economy. Putting a price on carbon sends a powerful signal across an entire economy to reduce its carbon footprint and unlocks the zero emission technologies we need.
Currently, there are few, if any, technologies in existence other than fossil fuel for two-fire grain dryers. There are a handful of companies working on those technologies, but they're years away from being developed at a commercial level. Even opponents of the bill agree those technologies are still years away. During hearings on Tuesday, Saskatchewan Tory MP Warren Steinle asked this question of Matt Perry, who's a member of the policy development team with the Federal Agriculture Department.
You said many times innovation is driven by carbon pricing or a price on carbon in agriculture. Do you believe that statement?
I would say yes. I mean, that is
okay, that's perfect. So I'd ask, could you tell me the tax that was enforced on farmers that led to the innovation of zero tillage?
A tax on farmers that led to zero tillage. I don't believe there was a tax in that area.
Yeah, that was an amazing innovation. It led to great soil conservation and the ability of farmers to have better soil quality and more nutrients in their soil. Mr. Perry, could you tell me the innovation that led to crop rotation for grazing for ranchers across Canada? And what tax led to that innovation?
It was done through beneficial management practices and sharing of information amongst farmers. I don't believe there was a tax involved in that. So
I agree with you 100%. I think innovation and conversations through farmers and sharing data has led to amazing innovation in the agriculture sector. So I put on the record that saying and having very, very senior people in the Department of Agriculture say innovation is brought forward in agriculture by carbon pricing is something I think a lot of people that I represent and a lot of people I know would have a difficult time believing that's the only way to get the innovation. And I think that's what this bill is about when you talk about it, is you can't get the innovation. And I know we talked about There might be innovative new technologies for grain drying. There might be, but that's 5 to 10 years.
That's Saskatchewan Tory MP Warren Steinle.
You're tuned to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Diggleman Industries. Look to Diggleman for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. A new partnership between the Regina Food Bank and Viterra will provide locally grown crops for protein to those in need. Viterra Farmers Feeding Families will provide over 200,000 bags of red lentils to food bank customers. CEO of Viterra North America, Kyle Jaworski, says with Saskatchewan leading in pulse crop production and the company's long partnership with the food bank, this new project just made sense.
We're the world leader in producing pulse crops here in Saskatchewan, and we export a significant portion of what we produce. It is a very sustainable and nutritious crop and a great protein source for individuals that consume it. So it's just a great opportunity here to provide it with those that are in need. If you look at our farmers here in Saskatchewan and across Western Canada, they've got a history of giving. So, you know, farmers are very proud to be able to give back, especially locally. We do so much in feeding the world, and we often talk about all we do to feed the world. And it's nice to be able to feed those at home. And I think this is a great opportunity to do that.
The program is also receiving $200,000 from the federal government. Grain prices have reached record or near record levels. Some canola prices have reached more than $21 a bushel. Errol Anderson of Pro Market Communications in Calgary has been following those markets for at least 40 years. He says what's happening right now is unbelievable because metals and grain prices are booming.
And in the grain sector, you know, basically we have empty grain shelves on, you know, particularly for canola and barley and corn in the States, and it's tight on the soybeans, and this has generated tremendous fund buying. And the funds have record positions that are long in this market. And also Brazil has dryness on their second corn crop, so the market is really on edge on Brazil to see how that's going to impact the global corn supplies. The canola market, the July contract has burst above $960 a metric ton, and you know we might be going toward $1,000 a ton on July canola. The top end canola bids we have heard is $23 per bushel for August delivery. It's just staggering. The November contract actually has moved up above $760 a metric ton, and we've got the July soybeans bursting above $1,560 per bushel. The July corn now is above $7, actually $7.05 per bushel, so it's just an amazing situation that we're witnessing right at the moment.
Anderson says many people are ready to buy to get the economy moving again.
I think this is a the market is just releasing itself like a spring. But also to add it to it is this liquidity rally that I believe that we're in, where the extensive stimulus or money printing is filtering its way into several asset classes. And this money is just oozing into these markets, and it's just racing us higher. But high prices, you know, there's a cure for high prices, and that is high prices. So at one point, we're going to start to see these markets come down. But really, at the moment, we don't know where that is. Interesting, though, looking at the wheat market, the global wheat stocks or production looks like it could be a record. We're seeing the Ukraine production on wheat rally go above 28 million metric tons. Australia is in a huge recovery in wheat production right now. The U.S. is getting good rain in central and southern Midwest, so the winter wheat conditions are starting to improve there. And right now, the U.S. Wheat export prices are now uncompetitive in the world market. So we talk about the rally in the soybeans and the corn and the canola, but then when you look at some other products, it's not so inflationary. In fact, these prices in some areas may actually back off.
That's Errol Anderson at Pro Market Communications in Calgary.
The Market Updates with Jim Smalley on The Source, 620 CKRM.
Market Update is brought to you by Nelson GM in Assiniboia and Avonlea. If you are a Costco member, get huge savings on current 2019 and 2020 SUVs right now. And brought to you by Sask Pork. Saskatchewan's growing and vibrant hog industry creates economic spin-offs and career opportunities in our rural communities. Find out more. Visit saskpork.com. Grain prices were mixed in early trading today. Canola gained $26.90 at $901.97 per metric ton. Lentils rose $25 at $747.50. Number one, red spring wheat fell $3.50 at $335.08. The rest were unchanged. Durham, $290.27. Feed barley, $267.68. Flax, $697.63. Oats, $209.53. Yellow peas, $383.70. Feed wheat, $238.84. The Minneapolis spring wheat July futures are up 2.5 cents at 784 and a half cent a bushel.
It's the Livestock Reports on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn 842-4574. And now the latest livestock quotes.
Hello, cattleman, Junior for Heartland Livestock, York, with your market report for the week of May 5th. We had a lighter run on offer this week with 1,140 in the pre-sort and 350 cows and bulls for a total of 1,490. On the feeder market this week, we saw the lighter grass cattle were steady and the heavier cattle were under a little pressure. Here are some highlights of this week's sale. Black steer is 568 pounds at 236. 641 pounds at 217 and 837-pound black steers at $1.78. Red X steer is 636 at 212, 807-pound steers at $1.84. The heifers are still 20 to 25 back from the steers. On the cow and bull trade, we saw 280 cows average 94.50. D1, D2 cows 90 to 96 with a high of $1.04. D3 cows 75 to 85. On the bull trade, 54 big bulls average $1.06 with a high of $1.18. Producers, on Friday, May 14th is our next cow calf and bred cow sale. We have 60 pairs and 40 bred cows consigned already. Give us a call to book cows for the sale, reserve a seat, or any other information you may need. Sale starts at 11 a.m. Producers, we are having pre-sorts throughout the month of May, so give us a call to book your cattle in. Once again, this is a Junior for Heartland Yorkton. Thank you and have a great day.
Now the latest Saskatchewan pork prices.
Ham sold 6,300 hogs Wednesday, selling a range of 228 to 241 per CKG. Today's sales are expected to be around 7,100 head, selling a range of 228 to 243 per CKG. Hams number one sows this week are down and selling in the range of 68 to 75 cents per pound live weight. Hams cash hog price today is up and forward contract prices opened lower this morning. On Wednesday, the Canadian dollar was up 28 basis points with the daily exchange rate at 1.2272. The Canadian dollar is currently trading at 82.01 cents US. Daily US cash markets continue to climb with all regions making gains over the previous day. At $121.21 U.S. 100 weight, the Western Corn Belt region is the clear leader as packers compete more aggressively for uncommitted hogs, while demand remains strong on the meat side. As the Western Corn Belt typically leads pricing trends, its trajectory and the spread relationship between it and the national will be closely watched. Lean hog futures shrugged off the weekly export sales report this morning and are consolidating at present levels, albeit amid the highs. Physical deliveries were sharply lower than previous week, but the 37,059 metric tons is roughly trendline comparing all weeks to the beginning of 2021 and 48.8% higher than the five-year average. New net sales were strong and came at the highest level in 5 weeks and the fourth highest since the beginning of the year. Mexico was in the number one position, committing to 19,400 metric tons, while China came in second with 15,000 metric tons.
And coming up, the Resource Report.
This is the Saskatchewan Resource Report on 620 CKRM. Here's Jim Smalley.
Now the Resource Report, brought to you by the Prairie Co-op Grow Team, fueling farms, feeding families in Cupar, Ituna, Lipton, and Strasburg. And SMHI, Municipal Hail Insurance, 3 tiers of stackable hail insurance. Contact an agent or visit us online at municipalhail.ca. Storms are unpredictable. Municipal hail isn't. The federal and provincial governments have announced more than $50 million in funding for 55 infrastructure projects across Saskatchewan. The funding includes construction of a new community center in Kanistino to house the town office, a rental hall, daycare, and library. Active transportation networks will be expanded or improved in the Battlefords, Estevan, Kindersley, LaRonde, Swiftcurrent, and Yorkton to enhance mobility connections and the safety of cyclists and pedestrians. In Regina, the Saskatchewan Science Centre will be renovated to make it more accessible.
Projects in Moose Jaw, Wilkie, and Bigger will upgrade the power supply to municipal buildings using solar panels. On the markets, the TSX is down 30 points at 19,280. The Dow has risen 174 points at 34,404. Oil is down 75 cents at $64.88 a barrel. And the Canadian dollar is up 47 one-hundredths of a cent at 81.99 cents U.S. That's the Resource Report. If you missed any segment of the show, tune in to the on-demand Saskatchewan Agriculture Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. That's Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. I'm Jim Smalley.
You've been listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM. If you missed any of today's broadcast, download the podcast now online at 620ckrm.com. Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, now starting after the 12 o'clock news on your voice for everything ag, 620 CKRM.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.